Football Friday.
Bridgewater end zone caught. Touchdown. Bridgewater in trouble and down he goes. Sutton wasn't even looking for it.
I just apologized and was stupid.
Lewis, pressure. Swung around and sacked.
And there better be an energy shift because that's what we need to do.
Here's Brady Hall.
Yeah. You can just play Adazio clips the whole time. We could just have a 15-minute segment of Steve Adazio clips. We got Football Friday. We are ready to go on this Friday afternoon. Busy, busy weekend, man. You got Broncos Steelers. I'm calling it an avoid the panic type game. I hate saying must win because I've already said it once. I said it three times. Didn't I say, I said the first two out of three. You got to win. Must win two out of three. And they won three. All right. So does that give you any? Now, if the Broncos would have been closer against Baltimore, if we're talking 23-21, 23-17, offense just doesn't look abysmal, maybe you're not freaking out as much. Because I think Baltimore is a class act. I think they're going to win a lot of football games this year. But you got stomped, and your offense did nothing. And, I mean, defensively, you still got to be all right. Fell asleep in the second quarter, but other than that, you got to feel good about it. Now, I was looking around this Pat Shurmur deal. The way you beat Pittsburgh, Teddy, Drew, Colfax, I don't care who the quarterback is. If you don't run the ball consistently, you're going to lose. And I saw, you know, Colfax was bringing this up, DNVR put it out, DNVR Broncos, saying, hey, if the Broncos kind of stay on track, they run just as much as they pass. But when they get off of it, you can see an obvious lapse. And they said it was only through three quarters, but it was through two. I mean, the first two quarters, they ran the ball more. Check this out. In the second half, this is how the game started. Okay, they held the Ravens to a three and out. That's how the game started. You're down 17-7. You held the Ravens to a three and out. You get the ball back. Here's what it did. All right. First down and 10 at Denver's 22. Melvin Gordon, run for 6 yards. That's your first run play of the half. That's your first play of the half. You ran for 6 yards. All right. Next play, second and 4, pass. Drew Lock is sacked for minus 6, so you just lost everything. It's third and 10. Well, it's going to be a pass, right? Drew Lock pass short left to Noah Fant for 11 yards, first down. Okay, first down. All right, here we go. Remember when we ran it that first time with Melvin Gordon and got 6? Should we do that again? Drew Lock pass incomplete, short right to Noah Fant, second and 10. Drew Lock pass short middle to Albert Okwebanon. Now third and, he got 11 yards. First down. Drew Lock sacked. Minus 8 yards. Remember when Melvin Gordon ran it for 6 yards that very first play? Haven't touched the run since in that first possession. Second and 18. All right, you got sacked. Now you're kind of in trouble. Drew Lock passed short right to Melvin Gordon for 8 yards. Third and 10. Drew Lock pass incomplete. Short right. Sticking with me, class. We've ran it one time to start the half. Broncos hold the Ravens to another. They got them four and out. Ravens went for it on fourth down. The Broncos get the stop. Broncos ball, first and 10. Remember when Melvin Gordon ran it for 6 yards to start the half? Drew Lock pass, incomplete. Deep right to Sutton. Okay. Second and 10. Uh-oh, we got a Javonte Williams sighting. He runs the ball for 10 yards. Second run of the game. You got 16 yards in two carries. Second run, Javonte Williams, monster run to get the first down because he needed it. Next play, all right, we're going to run the ball. Javonte Williams up the middle for Denver, no gain. Had an illegal shift, though, so it was a 5-yard penalty. First and 15, still a runnable situation, correct? First and 15 on your own 40, still down 10, 6 minutes left in the third. Drew Lock pass incomplete to Tim Patrick. Second and 15. Drew Lock pass short right to Noah Fant. Third and 12. Drew Lock pass to Javonte Williams for 5 yards. It's now fourth and 7. You have ran the ball 3 times. Two of those runs equaled 16 yards. The other had a penalty on it. your running was working in two times. All right, Ravens get the ball back. All right, defense is finally wearing out. They take it down to start the fourth quarter, and they get a field goal. Broncos ball. It is now 20-7 at this point. You can still run the ball. There's 13 and a half minutes left. The Broncos get the ball. They run it with Melvin Gordon. This is the last run play of the half. Melvin Gordon runs for negative yards. So it's 2nd and 11. Drew Lock short right pass to Noah Fant for 6 yards. It's now 3rd and 5. Drew Lock pass incomplete. 4th and 5. They punt. Ravens are held to a 3 and out. Broncos ball again. Drew Lock pass. 10 and a half minutes. You're down. You're down. You're 27 still. Drew Lock pass. Drew Lock pass. Drew Lock pass. 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 So the tale of the tape, the second half of this game, you did not run the ball. When you ran the ball really well, you had opportunities too. Yeah, there were, you know, when you get down south of 10 minutes and you're down several scores, or you're down 2 scores, okay, you're down south of 10, I get it. You're going to start throwing the ball more. But there were plenty of opportunities in the third quarter alone. You ran the ball with Melvin to get 6 yards, and then you find a way to get the first down, and then you abandon the run. They abandoned the run down 17-7. When this run game is what has been getting them there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, text KFKA, because we can get you registered so we can get you a nickname. If you're, you know, if you're any hooligan worth his salt needs a nickname. Jeff Legwald put this out. This is interesting. More on the run thing. The Denver Broncos offense has scored 8 touchdowns this season. 5 of those have come with at least 2 tight ends in the formation. 3 have come with 3 tight ends. It means you're going big formation. You can go with your tight ends or you can run the ball. In each of their 3 wins, the Broncos use personnel groupings with 2 or 3 tight ends, including penalty snaps, at least 31 times. In their only loss of the season this past Sunday against Baltimore, the Broncos used those formations just 16 snaps. Their only touchdown of the game was scored, yes, by Noah Fant. But that, like, there's times when I, most of the time, I say, okay, I can question a coach, but at the end of the day, I'm not a coach. I don't know what goes into it. But there's times where you just look at this and you go, okay, for 3 games, you were doing this and you were winning. You were running the ball for the most part. Pretty consistent. You weren't running as much as I want to run, but you were running the ball okay. You weren't doing 4 carries and a half. You were going big sets. You were getting tight ends out there so that you could audible out if you need to into a pass. And then you just change that game. And then especially in the second half, it's almost like this is what I don't get. The better quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater. That's where we are. He's the better quarterback. And I get that he's probably better at the line of scrimmage. He's better at calling plays. He's better at seeing blitzes. Is he better at throwing than Drew Lock? I think at this stage, we're going to go ahead and give Teddy Bridgewater the benefit of the doubt. He's better at Drew than everything at this stage. Does he have the cannon? No, but it's not working. So why, in the wild world of sports, when Drew Lock is in the game, we're pass happy. But when Teddy's in the game, we want to balance. Like, I think that with the worst quarterback, you need the balance more. You need your run game more than ever before. You need play action. You need to offset these teams because Drew's not going through his progressions like Teddy does. So Drew Lock comes in. You run the ball 4 times. And 2 of those times that you ran, they were pretty damn successful. 16 yards. So I look at this and I say, okay, I think the Broncos have the personnel to win 11 games. That's why I picked them to win 11 games. I think they do. Do they have the coaching staff? Like, we don't talk about Vic Fangio nationally as much. Like, a lot of teams that have coaches on the hot seat or when they started out on the hot seat, they're in the news all the time. Vic Fangio to the national media is just kind of like, it's Vic, you know? He doesn't move the needle, although he kind of moved the needle a little bit when he was bashing Harbaugh for going for the record. But Pat Shurmur's getting more put on him because we all know, despite what they tell us, that it's Pat Shurmur's offense and it's Vic Fangio's defense. his decisions at quarterback and all that stuff, sure, Vic. But it's up to Pat Shurmur. So him yesterday saying at the press conference, I do believe in the run. That's what Zach Stevens quoted on DNVR Broncos. I do believe in the run. Then why aren't you running? That's it. That's the simple question for that. Why are you not running the football? There's got to be an answer. And the answer was basically, well, certain situations dictate what you're going to do in the game. I just laid out the play-by-play chart for you. There was a lot of them in there where you could certainly say, nah, this makes sense. But why are you not running it on first down more? When the first carry of the half was a 6-yard gain. That's what you have to do against Pittsburgh this weekend. Pittsburgh's a middle-of-the-road defense. They give up about 99 rushing yards per game. So they're okay against the run. I think they're top 10. Pass, you know, they're susceptible to the pass. They're an okay defense. Like I said, as long as Mike Tomlin's there, that brand, that tough-nosed brand of football is going to be there. So you have to find a way with this offensive line, with Dalton Risner, with Graham Glasgow, to be able to punch them in the mouth and run the ball. That's with or without Teddy at the starting quarterback. Now, it sounds like it's going to be Teddy, which is good. You know, I'm putting all my stuff aside about Drew Lock. I get it. I understand where we are in this moment of time. And we may not get to see that final test pay off. But I get where we are. So if it's Drew, if it's Teddy, doesn't matter. You need to run the ball. They have to find a way to do it. We said this last year. Remember we said, you're paying Melvin Gordon $16 million for 2 years. You're paying him $8 million a year, and you barely use him. Philip Lindsay would have like a huge run, and then we didn't hear a word from him the rest of the game. It's a trend. Do you forget? Is it like the timeout thing with Vic Fangio? Is it like that, where it's just... I don't understand. Drew Lock comes in the game. He clearly lost the quarterback competition. He barely got any reps. And yet, he's throwing the ball way more than Teddy was throwing in the first half. It will be panic button time if you can't beat Pittsburgh. The schedule is crazy. And the Steelers are reeling. But it also has the makings of a game where this could be the Steelers getting back. You know, they're at home. They can salvage their season early if they can get this win against Denver. But it should be Denver's game to lose. There is a lot of pressure on this one, especially because of where we are in the season and what's coming up in the schedule. 18 minutes after the hour. Rev Chiropractic, they're here in Greeley. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. They're right by the Home Depot. And I've been going to these guys for getting close to a year now, if you can believe it. They have been wonderful for me. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada, it's a different style of chiropractic care than I've ever experienced. You know, it's not the popping and cracking and all of that stuff. It is a slower process that's going to yield long-term results. That's Rev Chiropractic here in Greeley. Tell them we sent you from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. 19 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's switch gears a little bit. You got homecoming weekends for both the UNC Bears and the CSU Rams. Can everybody get back on track this weekend? We'll talk about it next.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Norfolk Iron and Metal, they're looking for some great members to join their team. Check out their website, norfolkiron.com, or you can call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722 to find why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. First Advantage text line, 888 888- 530-0043, 888-530-0043. Well, the Colorado State Rams have their homecoming weekend going up against San Jose State, trying to right the ship here as we're progressing through. Although we've discussed this at great length, it does feel like, you know, the last 2 weeks, there's a lot of optimism, or at least more than there was when this team was losing to South Dakota State and, of course, Vanderbilt. Forgot about them. I mean, it's easy to forget about Vanderbilt. They don't really do much. The sky was falling. I mean, we were pressing the panic button. You had Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now saying Steve Addazio should be fired, even though they're going to have to pay him $5 million just to go away and then hire another coach to come in for a couple million dollars. I mean, it's like a $7 million buyout. Like, they were so bad, math made no sense to anybody. Economics made zero sense to anybody. So with the situation at hand, you were wondering what was going to happen with this team. Are there any wins on the schedule? And then they go to Toledo and beat them. They were scheduled or picked to lose by 14.5 points. They go beat them. And then we know what they did with Iowa. They turn the page. They start conference play. They're going up against San Jose State. San Jose State has some interesting things going on with their school in general. This was reported this morning from the Associated Press. San Jose State President Mary Papazan resigned Thursday after the university agreed last month to pay $1.6 million to 13 female student athletes whose complaints about being sexually assaulted by an athletic trainer were mishandled. Papazan, who has served as the university's president since July 1st, 2016, will step down at the end of the fall semester on December 21st, officials announced Thursday. So I just thought that was an interesting story that popped up in the headlines, knowing, all right, you have CSU playing San Jose State this weekend at home in Canvas Stadium. So a tough story there for the Spartans. I don't know if that does that impact overall athletics. Does that impact the school? I mean, sure, the drama around it is never a great thing, even if it's not directly about the college football side of things. San Jose State coming into this game on that side of it, defending Mountain West champs. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they weren't really considered a world beater, but they found a way in the weird year to win. How much stock do you put in winning a conference championship in the year that was the COVID? I think it depends truly on who you ask. Because I don't think a lot of Rams fans put a lot of stock into the Rams. Would they go 1-3 last year? No, they're 1-3 right now. So this is uncharted territory for Steve Addazio as a CSU head coach. He was 1-3 last year, and that was, you know, we had all the cancellations and then whatever the hell happened with Utah State last year. I'm going to be at that game tomorrow. Going to the press box tomorrow to watch this one, see how this one breaks down. I tell you, defensively, I'm very confident. I'm a little shaky on the pass attack, which will be interesting to see how they play San Jose State. We were talking about this. We have the college football kickoff show, a thing all about Rams. I do it with two guys from the Colorado and Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. We had that show last night. It airs Thursdays at 5. And I asked the question, I was like, do they match up better against teams like Iowa than they do against perhaps teams like San Jose State that are going to throw the ball up and down the yard? It's crazy to say you match up better with the number 3 team in the country than you do a 3-2 Mountain West Conference team. But kind of makes sense. That will be interesting. Can they get to, whether it's Starkle or Nash, that's a big one too. Is it going to be Nick Starkle? If it's Nick Starkle, he's a damn good quarterback. He might be NFL caliber. Nash played well, but they played a really garbage team last week in New Mexico State. They won, but that's a bad team. Maybe one of the worst FBS teams. So the question will be, whoever it is behind center, can your D-line create pressure? Can you, whatever that is, crafty blitzes, whatever, to create enough pressure to keep them from going deep? Because that's where Iowa made their money against the Rams. CSU was shutting everything else down, the short passes, the run game. It was when they went over the top that the Rams secondary just couldn't stop them. You have questions about the Rams on the injury side, too. Is Dante Wright going to play? Is Bailey going to play? Certainly concerned about that side of it. Because if Bailey doesn't go, You know, you want to develop the run game. You want to try to get some opportunities for Todd Senteo to have play action passes. For him, for Senteo, he's got to hit the deep balls, man. He's got to connect on those open passes when he gets those looks. You don't get them very often. So when you miss them, they're really painful. So it sounds like they've been working on that throughout the course of the week. Should be a good one. And this is an opportunity for the Rams to turn the page. Speaking of turning the page, you know the UNC Bears want to turn the page. Last weekend, for many reasons, was an awful weekend. You had the Max McCaffrey clipboard thing. Then, I mean, we knew it sounded fishy, but story came out of, let me see, I got to find it. It was a Montana State story. I can't find it, Colbs. But basically, they are not buying that he was throwing the... Now, it's from MontanaSports.com. Montana State Police are disputing the fact that Max McCaffrey was giving away a piece of memorabilia. I mean, you and I aren't cops, Colfax. I think you and I busted that. We broke through that investigation. We blew that thing wide the hell open. They dispute the claim that Northern Colorado's coach threw clipboard as a souvenir. I mean, it didn't happen. What I was told in this, or what we read in this report, was that at the time, the guy that was hit, or that was, did kind of hit him close to the chin or something like that, a male subject, probably in their 60s, who had been struck with a piece of clipboard in the jaw, apparently at this stage does not wish to press charges. He just wants an apology. So why don't we have that yet? Because either way you want to slice this, if you were throwing it out as memorabilia or you were throwing it at the kid making fun of your pants, you still hit the dude. So you should apologize. Intent doesn't seem to be on this guy's mind. He just wants an apology. So hopefully that got done and we can put this thing behind us. Hopefully it doesn't get worse before it gets better. I mean, it felt like through the week it was like, this is kind of a goofy little story. And then Montana police coming out here saying, he wasn't giving that away as a souvenir. How much trouble could he get in? If he presses charges, is that assault with a weapon? I don't want to say deadly weapon. Is it a deadly? I guess if you break a clipboard in half, it could become a deadly weapon. I watch a lot of shows about people breaking out of prison. And anything is a deadly weapon in prison, Colfax. You can figure out ways to take someone down. That's what I've learned. You can make a shank? You can make shanks out of so many different items. I'm sure you could do that with a clipboard. So they had that, plus the game was just awful against Montana State. Montana State's good, and guess what? Eastern Washington's probably better. They are 5-0. They were on the big stage on ESPN last week. A lot of people got to see that red field in all its glory. This offense is ridiculous. They have the number one passing attack. They are really good when it comes to that. They are averaging 444 yards per game through the air. The Bears are top four as far as stopping the pass. They allow 178 yards per game. So they're a good defense, but are they going to be any match for Eastern Washington's offense? And if you look at Montana State, the defense was kind of there again. They were hanging in there, but you had so many turnovers. I look at that sequence late for UNC where what was the score? I believe it was a two-score game, but the Bears got the ball back in really good field position, like at midfield. And they were going to be, if they could drive down, they could make it a one-score game at halftime. Instead, Dylan underthrows his receiver. It's picked off. And I believe Montana State then put a drive together and scored and made it a three-score game at that stage. So that's what you call a 14-point swing. Will they recover? Is homecoming week going to help this Bears team out? I think they'll put on a better showing. Hopefully that was the worst you saw, the lowest point for UNC. But Eastern Washington, that's going to be a tough one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I have a $20 gift certificate. Thanks to the great folks at the Windsor Mill Tavern. They in part make it possible for us to talk to Dylan each and every week. I'm going to throw that out to caller number five. Caller number five, a $20 gift certificate to the Windsor Mill Tavern. It's a beautiful place. It's an old historic mill. They got a great brewery right around the right behind them. They're right to the east side of them. It's an awesome place. Right when you get into Windsor on Main Street, you will not regret stopping by. Perfect weekend plans. I got a $20 gift certificate. Caller 5-970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. Caller 5, you're getting a $20 gift certificate to the Windsor Mill Tavern. 35 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Yeah! Yes! It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. Get that some great football games. How about Georgia and Auburn? That's going to be a good one. BYU, Boise State, for those Mountain Westerners. Can Boise State prove that, you know, they had a rough schedule. They had a really rough schedule to start. They're sitting at 2-3, though. What is it? You are what your schedule says you are. Mysterio said, hey, the best part about this weekend is going to be retiring Vincent Jackson's number for UNC. Yeah, man. I mean, what a legend for the Bears. Died at the age of 38 years old. It was just, man, it was so cool. Like, Reed Dowdy, too. Like, those two names, Vincent especially, though, on the offensive side as a wide receiver. He had just amazing numbers. I think at one point he was, like, he had 1 year or so where he was the top guy. He was, like, one of the top receivers. Great career with the Chargers. Great career with Tampa Bay. Certainly a wonderful representation during his time in the NFL as a member of the Bears. And hey, we know this, UNC guys. We don't see it a whole lot. So seeing a guy like that do some amazing things and repping UNC, it was unfortunate. The whole thing just so unfortunate. So yeah, that will be hopefully a very nice celebration, a nice honor this weekend. It'll be interesting to see what the Bears can do with it, though, against Eastern Washington. Maybe they take that kind of honoring some of these greats, because there's other players, too, that are going to be honored. Maybe they can channel some of those greats and use it to pull off a major upset. I heard Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, on NoCo Now today say, if the Bears win, that could be one of the, even though it's FCS, that could be one of the larger upsets in all of college football this weekend. It could be, because I think Eastern Washington's favored by quite a darn bit. Let's read a text here. Got one from Dixon. You said the schedule. Okay, talking about the Broncos. If I can load it here. You said the schedule is crazy and acting like it's tough. You said earlier in the year how easy the schedule was. And that was part of the reason you picked the 11 wins. That was part of it. First three were easy. There's plenty of easy games on the schedule. What I said earlier in the segment was the next four or five games are going to be pretty tough, or the next three at least, with the Raiders and the Browns. So yeah, I mean, the easiest part of their schedule has happened. The second easiest part of their schedule is probably in that stretch, although the Cowboys look good now, was probably the NFC East stretch. Washington at Dallas against the Eagles. So, okay, to be fair, the next two games are going to be tough. And if you lose those, if you lose to the Steelers on Sunday, and you lose to the Raiders, you lose to the Browns, that's three losses, and you're back to 500. You're back to where you started to begin the season. And then the pressure is really on. All right, you need to make sure. And Washington's not as bad as we thought they were going to be. You know, I still think that when I look at the schedule ahead, I still see wins. I'm not going to, you know, go through the whole thing here, but I still see wins down the stretch. The Bengals will find out if they're for real, but I could certainly still see home wins against the Lions and the Bengals. I still think that this team can win some AFC West games. I don't know that the Raiders are necessarily better than them, but I think as you start progressing through the schedule, yeah, this is one of those. This is one of those that you need to absolutely win. Going up against the Steelers, because the Raiders, Browns, those two games coming up, they could be tough. I mean, I'm not the only one who thinks that this was an easy schedule. The NFL came out. This was the third easiest schedule in the league. So forgive me for reading those stats, for those reports. Noob. Yeah. This is my bad. Yeah. Yeah. Noob. Arizona 34, CU 17. Well, they don't, that's next week. Noob's like, dude, they're so bad. They're going to lose this week to Arizona and next week to Arizona. 34-17 seems about right. Noob's got CSU beating San Jose State 31-21. And we're turning things around if that happens, Noob. Eastern Washington 34 to UNC's 21. Which I think if you lose that, if you score 21, you lose to Eastern Washington 34-21. I think if you walk away, you're happy if you're a Bears fan. Somewhat happy. Air Force Wyoming. That's a game. That's a game this weekend. Noob doesn't think so, though. Give me your picks, by the way. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm mainly looking for picks between Denver and Pittsburgh. CSU and San Jose State, I almost noobed it. UNC and Eastern Washington. And Noob's going to chuck in the Air Force. Noob is trying, isn't he? He's gonna get Air Force talk out of me yet. Which it's not like I hate talking Air Force. How many listeners do we have that care that much about Air Force? Maybe we should take a poll someday. Do you want me to talk more Air Force? He's got Air Force beating Wyoming 41-14. It's hard to argue because I do not believe in Wyoming right now. They're 4-0, but that's not a great schedule that they've had. So I'm not going there. I don't believe in them. I don't know if it's going to be 41-14, but I'm with you. I think Air Force wins. He's got Denver beating Pittsburgh 28-14. We feel a lot better if that happens, right? I believe Teddy's playing. Albert O, sounds like he's out. He's had a nice start to the season. No, but no tight ends necessarily tearing it up for Denver. I'm going to harp on it last time, and then we'll take a break and we'll get to picks. Run the ball. I want to see Javonte Williams go off in this game. Here's what I think. My little side predictions before we get to picks. I think Javonte Williams is going to have a game. I mean, I could see him getting his first 100 yards in this game. Because I think that Pat Shurmur is going to go the opposite and say, hey, we need to run the ball. And I think Von Miller is going to go off in this game. I think he's going to go after Ben. Actually, I think Ben's just going to trip and fall. And Von's just going to have to run and tag him. That'll count as a sack. I'm glad Dalton Reisner and Graham Glasgow are going this week because TJ Watt is a bad man. He's got 5 sacks on the year, but he hurries the quarterback a heck of a lot. So they are going to have to block so much better than they did on Sunday against Baltimore. And I get it. You were without 2 of your starting guards. That should be much better. Garrett Bowles was bad without Dalton next to him. So hopefully he can recover. Picks are coming up next. I'm sitting at a winning record. We got to get better. I'll give you my at-large picks as well. Don't go anywhere. I'll read your predictions too. Load up those picks. Text them in. 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Football Friday continues. We're almost done, but the best part of Football Friday, everybody knows, it's the picks. Let's get to it, Colfax. No Buffs tonight, guys, or this weekend. Although we've already had several people saying CU loses this weekend. So I don't even think you guys are looking at the schedule, to be honest. I think you're just like, yeah, CU's losing. Don't know who they're playing. Don't care if they're playing. They lose somehow. But they're not playing. So we'll substitute. How about Air Force and Wyoming? Air Force is what? Already 2 games away from getting into a bowl game? I mean, they're a good team. They're a really good team. Wyoming's 4-0. Does that mean a lot? They barely beat UConn. They beat Montana State. But still, Big Sky, FCS. I like Air Force to beat Wyoming and cover. What I saw was the -5. I like Air Force to win by at least 6 points in this game. So, Air Force, you're getting it done. The UNC Bears, homecoming. It's going to be a really kind of emotional time for diehard Bears fans, especially with Vincent Jackson with retiring his number. And they're going to retire some other players, honoring other great players in Bears history. I don't think it's going to be enough. I think that offense, that passing attack for Eastern Washington is good. I like UNC's defense, but I just don't know that they're ready yet. UNC loses to Eastern Washington. How about this? CSU, San Jose State. I know we got to wrap up soon here. The spread is now has the Rams favored by 3. I like the Rams to win and beat San Jose State by at least 4. They cover that spread. Broncos are beating Pittsburgh. It's a -1 spread there. Whatever, they'll cover that. I like the Broncos to win. So my only local loss, I guess if you want to call Air Force more local than Wyoming, I'm not sure that you do. See, that's my predicament I'm in, Colfax. I just have the Bears losing this weekend, and I don't know if that's a hard pick. We'll see. I'm having, for the most part, being a very positive week overall. I like Georgia to cover. I'm just going to say cover the 15. I know that's not exactly the strongest pick in the world. And then finally, Colfax, we're going to go. I went back and forth with this one, but I want to go this route. I'm going to go. I'm looking at the Browns-Chargers game. I'm going Chargers to win and cover the -2 there. So they beat the Browns at home. And that's going to do it for another Football Friday. The picks are in. All right, we'll go out on that. And there you go. I see what you're getting at, Colfax. Good night, Northern Colorado.